Seatbelts, more responsible behavior, and a decline in drug abuse boosted Minnesota to number one in the latest Kids Count report. And the state achieved that ranking even though the child poverty rate in Minnesota increased to 14%. The trouble is, the child poverty rate nationally increased even more dramatically. On the phone, Stephanie Hoganson this morning. She is the research and policy organizer for the Children's Defense Fund. Stephanie, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
The number one ranking, then, first of all, let's not take away from the things that actually were an improvement. More folks using seatbelts, more people being more responsible with regard to drinking and driving, also with drug abuse. That sounds like some good news. Tell us about that.
Right. So the Annie Casey Foundation puts out the Kids Count data book each year, and this year we went to from number five overall in child well-being to number one. And part of that big jump was in the health category, where the Annie Casey Foundation analyzes four indicators that predict long-term health in from childhood into adulthood. And so we saw a reduction in teens who abuse drugs or alcohol, as well as child and teen deaths. And child and teen deaths have been declining for a couple decades because of some of the increased seatbelt use, as you mentioned, health improvements, access to care, that kind of thing. And then we also saw our number of low birth weight babies, which is a predictor of developmental outcomes later on, as well as poorer health if you're born at a low birth weight. That went down slightly as well. And so our overall health rank went from 17th last year to 2nd this year. So that's what drove, mostly drove the increase to number one.
And that obviously is great news. We don't want to take anything away from that. But the number one ranking certainly doesn't tell the whole story. Child poverty rate in Minnesota up 14%, but basically we looked really good because the national child poverty rate went up even more. We're supposed to be bouncing back and out of the recession. What's going on, Stephanie?
Right. Well, so child poverty in Minnesota is at 14%, or about 180,000 children. And in the last couple years, that number has declined slightly, but it's increased significantly since the start of the recession in 2008, which is the year the data book compares to. And so what we're finding is that across the country, as well as in Minnesota, low-income families are not experiencing the recovery as quickly as higher-income families are. The jobs that are coming back are lower-paying jobs. The median wage in Minnesota is about $13 an hour. It's even lower in rural and northern Minnesota. And so families at the lower end of the income scale are not recovering as quickly. So they are more likely to stay in poverty or be in low-income households. They're also the number of children whose parents lack secure employment has increased, and we know that income predicts child outcomes. So there's research that shows, of course, that children in more economically stable families do better in school, they're more prepared for kindergarten, they're reading on time, and they're more likely to be successful in high school and go on to college. And so, and small increases in income can make a significant difference. And the other thing that this shows is the study looks at overall child well-being, but when you break the data down by race and ethnicity, we know that children of color and American Indian children are more likely to live in economically unstable families. They're more likely to experience educational barriers to success and also have poorer health outcomes. And that's something that in Minnesota we do really well for our white children in this state, but we need to figure out how we can better serve children of color and American Indian children, because when we look at that data, we don't rank highly. Other states are doing much better to serving those children.
Stephanie, are you concerned that the number one ranking is going to make some people kick back and say, what do you mean we're number one? We don't need to make these things a priority. You know, we rank number one.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at it initially, it's great. It's something to celebrate. And really, Minnesota has a history of investing in children and families and being a great place to live and grow up and go to school. However, when you look at the actual numbers, you know, for instance, in the education rank, we're ranked sixth. But when you look at the four indicators, we have 55% of 3 and 4 year olds not attending preschool, 59% of fourth graders not proficient in reading, and more than half of eighth graders not proficient in math. So there's a lot left to be desired in our education system, and even though we're ranked highly, we're nowhere near ensuring that all children have an economically stable family, access to an adequate education and health services, as well as a caring and stable community. And so, and we know there's a long way to go, and we've had, you know, half the child poverty rate that we have now, so it's possible to reduce child poverty, improve some of these education indicators, and we have made some investments to improve those education indicators. This legislative session, there was significant investment in access to early childhood education through Head Start, early learning scholarships, and the Child Care Assistance Program, as well as school readiness. But we need to continue to make those investments to ensure that all children have access to early learning as well as supports throughout their academic career.
And Minnesota ranks number one only because everybody else is doing really poorly, just doesn't roll as trippingly off the tongue.
Right. And you know, I do think, though, that recent investments, you know, the increase to the minimum wage, investments in the child care assistance program that allows parents to work while their children are in a stable child care environment, as well as the early childhood education investments I mentioned, and continued investment in our K-12 education system, are really going to keep this momentum going. And so we need to continue with those investments and understanding that when we invest early and often in children, it pays off in the long run because it improves their outcomes as adults.
Well, and I'd like to mention, because I didn't make it clear at the beginning, that this ranking, number one ranking, did come out in 2015, but it's based on data from 2013. So I'm looking forward to a conversation with you in a year or so, Stephanie, where we find out, again, as you mentioned, if some of these investments are really paying off for our kids the way we want them to.
Right, and that's what the data is, you know, data always lags behind, and so we're eager to kind of see what happens. Hopefully we'll see more children in preschool, we'll see fewer children in poverty, and since we'll be having more children in preschool, they'll be more prepared for school, and in a few years down the line, we'll have some of those education indicators, being proficient in reading and math on time, being met at a higher rate. And so that's what we're hoping. And then we know the reason that this should matter to everybody is that when our children do well, it prepares them for the future workforce and ensures that we can continue having the growing, prosperous economy that we currently do.
Stephanie, thank you so much for joining us this morning. It was great to talk with you.
You too. Have a good day.
Stephanie Hoganson is the research and policy organizer for the Children's Defense Fund, and she joined us this morning to talk about the latest report out with the Kids Count. Minnesota has been boosted to number one in the latest Kids Count report, and as we heard, that's kind of a mixed bag.